Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Some leftover jokes from late night last week when there was almost a railroad strike, but these are some good jokes. Seth Meyers said a possible national railroad strike was averted after 20 hours of talks between the union's leadership and labor negotiators from the railroads. 20 hours of talks that were very annoying to everybody else in the quiet car. I love it. Oh, man, if you're ever on a quiet car with me and you make any noise at all, I would give you such a look. Jimmy Fallon said, there's no way there could have been a rail strike under Biden. I mean, he rode a train to work every day for 40 years. That would be like a tanning bed shortage under Trump. A strike would have meant lots of Amtrak delays and cancellations. And now that the strike has been avoided, there'll still be delays and cancellations. Today is September 20th, which means Patton Oswalt's new special is out on Netflix. It's the one called We All Scream, where he talks about breaking his foot. Told you about that one last week. All right, looking forward to watching that. Craig Ferguson, he's been making the rounds. Seen a lot of Craig Ferguson articles lately. He spoke to Trib Live. He talked about when he hosted the Late Late Show on CBS and said it was a great job. I loved doing it, but 10 years is enough for me. It's a pretty decent job. And you get your face on some benches at bus stops, so it's cool, it's decent money, and it can be enjoyable. But I didn't want to keep doing it forever. I don't want to do it every day. Trying to exist inside the strict manners of a corporate environment, it's exhausting, and I'd rather just live my life the way I live it. Amen, says the guy podcasting in the basement. Totally feel ya. But James Corden is retiring. Come on, Craig, come back and host the Late Late Show. Wouldn't that be cool? Craig Ferguson said, I'd like to categorically say no to that. You can't go back. That's crazy. I love doing it. It's great, but it's done. You can't go back. Right, Jay Leno? But Craig, didn't you have regrets about not being around for the election and the insurrection, all that stuff? Craig Ferguson said, no, the opposite of that. What I like to do in late night is create my own chaos. That show was its own chaos. It was a self-contained little piece of anarchy. I don't know if I would have survived in a highly charged political environment like that. I think I would have been seen as irrelevant. High Times spoke to Bert Kreischer. Gee, I wonder what High Times asked Bert Kreischer about. Here's the question. How old were you when you first smoked weed? And how did you get it? Bert said, I was 15 years old. We went to a pool hall in West Tampa, and we bought weed from a big Native American dude. It's so funny because nowadays I look back, and I think it was so hard to get back then. We walked to a pool hall. My buddy Sal went in. I don't even know how we thought we could get it from that guy. Back then, it was almost like panning for gold. You'd go in there like, does anybody have weed in here? It was that effing crazy. All right, Bert Kreischer, what was the first song you got high to? Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb. Boy, that's predictable. We planned it. We went to my friend's house and turned on Pink Floyd because we were told that's what you get high to. So we smoked weed and I waited for the song to get better. All I knew was the song was supposed to get effing good. I didn't get high the first time because it didn't work. Everybody was like, yeah, you don't get high your first time. It's your second time or third time. My buddy came in and was like, it's my third time and I'm really high. And I was like, oh man, I can't wait until I'm three times in. It's so crazy because we did all the stereotype things you quote should do if you're smoking weed. It was all stuff someone's older brother had done. My buddy was like, hey, if I put this jar over my head, you won't hear me speak. Then he pretended to put a jar over his head and stopped talking and would all laugh at the dumbest effing joke because we thought, I guess we're supposed to laugh. The Mercury News caught up with Jeff Dunham. Hey, Jeff Dunham, you have several different puppet personalities you work with. Do you have favorites or any you're fond of? Jeff said, three of the characters I use go way back to when I was in college. They are Peanut, Walter, and Jose Jalapeno. Those are the ones that put me on the map. But I usually favor characters based on where in the world I am and what audience is responding to the most. The Johnny Carson audience used to love Walter, but lately Peanut has been killing it in the live show. Well, Jeff Dunham, you've started receiving criticism regarding the insensitivity of your puppet characters. Have you felt more pressure to censor your act? Jeff said, it's a big thing right now. Every word spoken on stage is through a different filter, and the brain has to run through that filter right before it comes out of your mouth. Is it okay to say, or could it be taken out of context, and you're going to be done? I used to say that stand-up comedy was the last true form of free speech, but that's been getting stomped on for the last few years, and it's not as much fun anymore. Now, there's definitely lines you shouldn't cross and things you should never say, but there are also a few political buttons and subjects where I don't think we need to be taking ourselves so seriously. We need to be able to laugh at ourselves and at each other just a little bit. Personally, I found if I'm offending just 3% of the audience, then I'm right where I'm supposed to be, because whatever I've said that's causing 3% to get up and leave, that's what everybody else is laughing at. Are you hip to the Mac Pack? The Mac Pack are my celebrity man crushes. It's Michael Chiklis, Andy Samberg, Tom Cavanaugh from The Flash. Henry Winkler's in now. Been thinking about adding Jeff Goldblum, but a key member of the MacPack is Keegan-Michael Key, and he has a new show called Reboot that's out today on Hulu. The Boston Herald was one of many outlets that caught up with Keegan, and they pointed out he's got a half dozen credits on his IMDb for this year alone. He really likes to work. Key said, for the record, I actually do say no to some things. I gotta say, I'm very blessed. There's just been a run of really, really wonderful projects to work on recently, and it happened to be a rash of them all at the same time. Reboot is a clever meta-comedy about rebooting an old sitcom. The New York Post got to see it in advance. Reboot follows the dysfunctional cast of an early 2000s show called Step Right Up, and the cast has to reunite and deal with modern social media and cancel culture. Here's the cast. Keegan plays Reed Sterling, who unsuccessfully pursued a film career after the show, but nobody appreciated his insights from having attended the Yale School of Drama. Judy Greer plays Brie Marie Larson. She has a romantic past with Reed and followed up the sitcom with a stint on a terrible sci-fi show, then left Hollywood to marry the Duke of a small Nordic country. Johnny Knoxville plays Clay Barber, who did some stints of stand-up comedy after Step Right Up, in between getting arrested for disorderly conduct. I like this premise. Callum Worthy plays Zach, the show's former child star who's all grown up now and feels the need to prove it by driving a red sports car and telling his fellow cast members that although they're back together for this show, it's different now because we've all had sex. Rachel Bloom plays Hannah, a writer pitching the reboot, who wants to make an edgier version where the sitcom characters don't do the right thing anymore. Paul Reiser plays Gordon, who created the original Step Right Up. Gordon wants the reboot to be more traditional. Keegan says when he was pitched the character of Reed Sterling, I had that moment that flashes in your mind when a person tells you an idea and you go, has no one ever done that before? That's always a good idea if you think, oh, why didn't I think of that? I remember even getting little jolts in my heart and thought, oh God, I hope we can make this quick before somebody else comes up with this idea. His character Reed is a Yale drama grad who's just not home in the silly hit sitcom from the 90s. The interesting thing, Reed is actually a very good actor, but part of the issue is he gets in his own way. This was the first big job he got, and it's sometimes hard for an actor to say no to really good money or consistent money, and the first big job he got was on this schlocky sitcom. Of course, he sees himself in the mirror as the serious actor who trained very hard to learn Shakespeare and the classics. He wants to tug heartstrings, do moving performances, and win Tonys. And then he gets this job, and he's relegated to shacting, which is a term meaning broad sitcom acting. He got to a place in his career where he said, I have to dig myself out of this hole. So when the new creative showrunner reboots the show, he sees a chance of redemption. But of course, that's not how it works. It's why we have a show. Keegan told MovieWeb, a lot of the jokes and scenarios are things that have actually happened to the co-creators and the writers. Some of us reboot actors even make suggestions about things we experienced, and the writers integrate it in the scripts. It's amazing. An example, in one episode, Zach wants to ask Elaine out. The Hulu human resources person says, you can only ask her once. Keegan said, that's real. All the writers, producers, and actors were in that human resources meeting at the beginning of the season. And somebody had the idea, oh God, if you ask them out more than once, it's harassment. I learned that you can just pull from your experience, your memory, and your everyday life. Meanwhile, other MacPacker, Andy Samberg, he's working on an animated series called Digman. Digman is set in a world where archaeologists are treated like the coolest people on the planet. Hello, is Indiana Jones not the coolest person on the planet? MacPacker Andy Samberg plays the main character, Rip Digman. So get ready to nerd out on archaeology. And from the Daily Mail, the headline, non-binary activist and comedian wants men banned from comedy. Okay. Daily Mail writes, a queer, trans-feminine, non-binary activist and performer has criticized male comics, claiming that many are masquerading their misogyny as comedy. During an appearance on The Project, Alok Ved Menon made the bold statement while promoting their own comedy tour. Alok said, I think it's time we project jokes from men in pants. I just started to watch some of this comedy stuff, and it feels like they're trying to masquerade their misogyny as comedy. So I had to enter the ring and show people that it's not funny to make fun of trans people for existing. What's funny is how much time, energy, and money you put into making up the gender binary. I also feel right now people only define trans people as hypersensitive, like we can't take the joke, like we're just curmudgeonly social justice warriors. When in my experience, when you spend your entire life being the butt of the joke, you learn how to tell a good joke. I wanted to show people that we're capable of joy, that actually amidst all the discrimination and violence, there's also so much fun to be had. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.